Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
.com.
The Kate Daly Show. I'm just going to say that and slowly walk away. The show starts now.
The truth hurts, doesn't it, Habsburg? Oh, sure. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts.
Well, hello. How was your weekend, everybody? I hope it was great. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. And, of course, hello to Uncle Milty. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good.
Are you?
I'm thrilled, actually, lots of things going on.
Really?
But especially, especially being able to have access to tampons in the men's room now.
You know, I know you've wanted this for over a decade.
I've been pushing for it for a long time.
Well, I'm happy for you. At least you have the choice.
Yeah.
Even if you don't need them, right. It's the choice.
And I rarely do.
Oh, we're going to cover that. Yeah, we got to cover that with Pesta. Oh, gosh. the nonsense. I was looking at a clothes store, and it actually came up where you could go under now three categories instead of two. See, it's always men and then women.
Right.
You look under each one, right? And everybody else has it pretty much that way. But there's a few that are kind of adopting some new language. And so one store has divided. So there's men, women, and divided. And under the divided section, it's pretty much the women's section. It's just boxier. Boxier and more ill-fitted clothing. And I thought, oh, I would like to look boxier and more ill-fitted. That sounds appealing.
Most women do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of like univided. You know what I mean? Like just sort of in the middle. I just thought, what are we doing? Oh, gosh. Don't even get me rolling on that. All right. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. And make sure you get over to Dr. Diet. In fact, they have some wonderful holiday specials. And I know if you've tried to take off the weight, you know how difficult it is. Maybe it's, it could be because maybe you're just not as healthy as you could be right now. And that might be impeding you losing your weight. And so they have discreet weigh-ins. They have real HCG that really does work. Low carb, keto. They have B12 shots, fat blaster shots really do work. They're awesome. And natural hormones. Balancing, appetite suppressants if you need it, free fat muscle analysis, one-on-one coaching, and right now, $25 off on all weight loss programs. They're already affordable. Now, $25 off. It's pretty amazing. Go to drdietweightloss.com. DR as in doctor. drdietweightloss.com or find them on Facebook, Dr. Diet Wellness Center, and call 628-DIET. 628-DIET. So easy, you guys. They really are the best. I've used them myself, and they are awesome. And it's also supervised with the holistic or medical doctor there on staff. So they just have a fantastic place. 628-DIET, they're located right on the boulevard. So, Uncle Milty, what's on your mind? I'm almost afraid to ask. What's on your mind? I got a couple things locally, but I want to just coming off the weekend. What's on your mind?
I'm really interested in this
Romney, Pierre
Delecto.
What in the world? I feel like I woke up and it's like, come on already. Anyway, this is just getting ridiculous.
Well, so, the name bothers me.
Romney, Mitt Romney, and his
Delecto.
Fake account. Yeah, Delecto.
Pierre Delecto. I mean, it sounds perverted.
Well, I don't know what Romney's doing. I think a lot of people are shaking their head, even those supporters. If you're a supporter, I'm not quite sure what to say to you other than we called this a long time ago, but he is out there and has admitted to having a secret Twitter handle known as Pierre Delecto. And of course, he was all about impeachment. the Never Trumper community, the he liked all the Romney posts. You mean he liked himself? So he comes out and now has admitted this. You guys, I would just like to know from any of you, have you changed your mind? Were you in Romney's court and then all of a sudden this year you just kind of went, what in the world did we do? I'm really hoping more and more Utahns have gotten to that point. I can't believe that 888-673-1450, a separate Twitter secret account.
Yeah.
Named Pierre. Pierre Delecto. Pierre Delecto.
That's a weird name.
That is a really weird name.
And Pierre, not so much.
I know, but he doesn't think that's going to stand out. He doesn't think that's going to stand out. I mean, that somebody's going to go, what? That's fake. What? Yeah. And he's over there responding to posts as this. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Well, remember Anthony Weiner? Remember when he had Carlos Danger? Okay, what's with the names? What's with these names that they're, if it were me, I'd go Bill Smith. I mean, what? It sounds like a porn name. Pierre Delecto.
I don't have a lot of experience with this, but the experience I do have says that anybody that makes up weird names like that is hiding something. And it usually is of a strange sexual nature.
I'm not sure what's behind this. I'm not sure what's behind him, to tell you the truth. It's so depressing to me. It really is, because I've said again and again on the show for a couple of years now, I'm sure in other capacities of his life, everybody likes him in those other capacities. But as a politician, he's really, really scary. And I don't know how much weirder he has to get for people to finally say, oh my gosh, something's really wrong.
See, and I don't think probably people really do like him. I think they just say they like him because they're afraid to not say the truth.
I think people genuinely like him in his personal life. I'm not hitting that. His everything about him as a politician screams liberal. Everything. And I don't think anyone can ignore that anymore. And I think even if you're in Romney's camp so firmly, you have got to see the elephant in the room. I don't know how else you can ignore it anymore. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
How you doing? Yeah, to answer your question, I was very in favor of Romney and really liked him when all I knew about him, and this was right at first, was that he bailed out the Olympics.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And just found that, oh, this is cool. This is almost Trump-like.
Sure.
And then the second I started finding out more about what he had done in Massachusetts and on and on and on, and then, of course, what he's done with Trump and everything has just gone downhill ever since. There's no way.
I know.
No way I'd vote for him.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for chiming in. Really appreciate that. Thank you. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. You know, back when he was in Massachusetts, he really aligned himself as a liberal to get elected, because that's a very liberal state. Mm-hmm. And he did that, but it was like the kind of conservative. And when he did his health care there, and I still stand by this, if a state really wants to go all socialist health care and they're really in favor of that, okay, that's why we have all of the states, right? If a state really wanted to do that, but then don't come over and co-op Utah and then say that you're a conservative and that you're against that. I never understood why people couldn't see through that. And then champion Obamacare for everybody federally or however they instigated it under Obama and Pelosi. We didn't read it. We just passed it. So, you know, the nonsense, right? But he is championing it, and I'm not quite sure people can ignore that anymore. 888-673-1450. I know a lot of hearts and minds changed after 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I can see why. And I can understand that, you know what, there's a severe awakening problem that we have here that we all, I think, need to wake up to and kind of see somebody for who they are. Kind of like the Evan McMuffin. Mm. McMullen. I'm so sorry. I keep doing that. Remember when the mayor came out and he was squarely in Evan McMullen's court. He was parading around and saying, you know, Evan McMullen's the man. And I don't know why he did that. But even then we were saying he's CIA. He's bought and paid for by the Hillary camp. And still the mayor, our mayor, Mayor Pike, was firmly for him, backed him. And I was so embarrassed for him at the time because I thought, oh, this is going to bite you. This is going to bite you. And a lot of people went, why is the mayor endorsing for president publicly on Facebook? That's such a joke. And look who he's endorsing. But he's also stood behind Romney, too. He's also stood behind a lot. When I remember our mayor, Mayor Pike, actually condemning Trump right before the election. Do you remember that?
And throwing him
under the bus super fast with all the Utah politicians. Chris Stewart always throws him under the bus, Trump. But I mean, same thing, though. And I thought, who are you people? Like, what is going on? So the fact that we got Romney in there, just it makes me squirm. And when I have guests on the show that are obviously not from here, and they're very, very well-known guests, even like Roger Stone, always asks, what in the world was your state thinking?
Yes.
I'm like, I have no idea.
Everybody feels that way.
Yeah, I know.
And it actually, and I think not necessarily justly, but a lot of people blame it on the church.
I know.
And I don't think it's the church's fault. You know, you can't blame the church because people just elect an idiot.
Well, there's some blind trust that kind of goes along with
but not all.
I think people really rallied him because he ran in 2012 and they didn't really learn anything different about him. And so they rallied for him again. Yeah. That's what happened. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you just said a few minutes ago that you think there's people that genuinely like him.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. We've got a liar, a guy who stabs his friends in the back. A guy who has gone against all the principles he supposedly stood up for us, et cetera, et cetera. What's to like?
By the way,
it may not be that the church is responsible for this, but they are in part responsible for it. So,
all right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks.
I think people should look around at themselves and say, what do we need this guy for? I've met his wife. She's very charming. She's a really lovely lady.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
Under a door without opening it.
Right. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's what I'm talking about, though. Is as a grandfather and father, he's liked as a person in his personal life. I'm usually never attacking that on somebody. What I am attacking him as a politician. And yes, the caller described him as a politician. That's the side of him I can see. That's the side that I would talk about on the air for sure.
There's no answer to this question, though, because throughout history we know that evil people had people around them that truly liked them. I'm not saying evil, but people in history have had people that like them for no reason.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back on the Keith Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You're listening to the Kate Daly Show on a Monday. I've got Uncle Milty with me. So happy I do. And you can call up 888-673-1450. You can also go to the KateDalyShow.com website, KateDalyRadio.com, and you can check that out. I'd love to hear from you. And you can email me there, donate to the show there. You can call in numbers there now, and lots of great changes. And then also the podcast, so share them. They're live recordings. You can share those with friends and family. You know what? Let's take a call. Why not? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I was just wanting to, in a way, defend the church, but just with a little personal story of my own. I lived in Florida for a while, and during the elections when Romney was running for president, he mm-hmm. came to church.
Okay.
And everyone was all excited, and I sure. remember being all, oh, that's really neat that he takes time out to go to church on Sunday.
That's great.
And mm-hmm. then I left, and then I, you know, did my studying, and I did not vote for him.
Okay.
And the church tells you, you know, go to caucuses, be educated, mm-hmm. be involved, be politically minded.
Sure.
They don't say vote for a Mormon just because he's LDS.
No, that's know? Very true. That's- We've said that on the show. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just thought that was,
yeah.
you know, if you do the studying, no matter what yes. religion or faith you are, I believe you can come to a hopefully a good conclusion.
You know, I like where you're coming from. And here's the deal for me, too, being LDS, as I am. You know, they don't tell you who to vote for. Of course not. And I'm so glad that would never be the case. And I'm happy about that. I think some people, no matter what, and I think no matter what the religion, you could have Catholics. Somebody's running for office that's Catholic. And a certain percentage of those will kind of blindly go just maybe they like that the most about them, right? And I think with being LDS, they might have liked that the most about Romney, thinking that, you know, you kind of align politically because you align religiously. But that's just not always the case. And I think that that doesn't paint a broad brush for everybody. I think that, like Milty said, it's a small segment that just kind of puts that as the priority because maybe they haven't done any homework and they just kind of feel like that's the best way to go, right? So
I agree. I believe that people in general, we're mm-hmm. busy with life and have things going on.
Right.
And it's a cop-out. It's an excuse. It's what we think is a safe way. Vote for, you know, like you said, a Catholic or the Mormon or whatever. But if you're, it's cop-out.
Yeah, it's a cop-out. Yep. We have to do our homework, too. But yes, and I don't think that's the case just because, you know, in this state, I think that just some people actually just kind of went along with them because. But I really appreciate your point of view. Yep. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. Absolutely. What do you think? Yeah. I think so, too. I mean, you know, I think that's just the nature of people. It's just the nature. You know, you go, oh, well, they're of my same religion. They probably feel a lot the way I do about things. But the problem is politically, it's just such a different thing now. I mean, I don't think really, I don't mind that people are influenced by their religion.
No.
I don't mind that at all because I kind of know what I'm going to get. But I think in the Romney bait and switch, the problem I had with him had nothing to do with me being LDS and him being LDS. The problem I had was that he wasn't being honest about being a progressive liberal. And he's extremely liberal. He was raised a liberal. His mother was very, very liberal, very pro-choice. And so he was raised that way. And he hasn't really changed. I actually thought that possibly when he was running for president, there was a change of heart. There actually wasn't. And so when he ran for Senate here, his website had no details on it. It had nothing on it. He wouldn't come on my show. He wouldn't be asked any other questions than what maybe three people were going to ask him. And he knew what they were going to ask beforehand.
Yep.
To me, that's not being honest or transparent. So right off the bat, it was like, oh, no, you know, that's so. For me, religion really has nothing to do with who I vote for anymore. It used to have more to do with it because I didn't do more homework.
And
Yeah.
Oh, you voted for him because he's of your faith?
Yeah.
Well, who's going to say that's a bad thing?
Yeah. I mean, really, I think it's just like she said, it's the cop-out version of I did my homework just because he's my faith. But it's like Trump. I didn't care what religion he was. I just wanted to know that he was going to protect religious freedom. He was going to, you know, he was going to fall in line with some of the things I wanted him to do and be a bulldog out there. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted. Right.
That's right.
So anyway, I really appreciate all of you and your sentiments because really I'm not here just to annihilate somebody. I'm here to say as a politician, they're horrifying or not horrifying. And I find the Utah politicians pretty horrifying to tell you the truth. I mean, in a state where I demand more, we could be really standing for something, but we don't at all. In fact, we're kind of low on the totem pole for conservative states, which is really sad.
And getting worse.
Yeah, and getting worse.
I mean, the one guy we thought we had has turned out to be getting worse by the day.
I know. And that's why I think I hope Romney's a good lesson for us that the homework cannot stop for some at religion. The homework's got to go into what they actually believe politically.
Yes.
And the proper role of government. What is their view about the proper role of government? It just drives me crazy. Anyway, he drives me nuts. He drives me nuts because every day there's like a new piece on him that outs him. as a liberal. And that's the bait and switch.
Yep.
Ouch. Let's talk about camping for a moment. This was so interesting to me. Let's talk about camping. So they cited, well, Zinke had cited, right, had come out and talked about the fact that they want that people want upgrades in camping, like Wi-Fi, food trucks. I'm not joking here. Food trucks, hot showers, and that these camping upgrades could be coming to a national park, which we have a lot of national parks here. And so recommendations were also coming to privatize it, to modernize it. And I wanted to get what you thought about that. Now, anytime we talk about privatization, I'm usually okay with privatization, right? I thought it was kind of funny that you had an environmentalist. Biggest problem with this was they're gonna charge us too much. Actually, it works the opposite in a lot of respects, because actually can bring costs down from where the feds are right now with national parks and camping. Can actually bring costs down because of competition. But there's a problem, though, too. What's the problem, Mildew? There's also another problem that comes along with it, too.
Well, there's a couple of problems mm-hmm. with it. First of all, I don't necessarily mm-hmm. think that if it brings costs down, it's going to translate to any savings to us taxpayers.
Right.
But the other problem is when it comes to food trucks,
uh-huh.
they're going to create a monopoly. They mm-hmm. always do.
Mm-hmm.
This goes all the way. Lyndon Johnson was connected with a company in his day called Canteen.
Canteen.
It's a food service company. And mm-hmm. back in those days, they got all the contracts for all the military bases.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still in existence today, although they're a subsidiary now of a larger company. This will turn into the same kind of thing. One company is going right. to have 150,000 food trucks now across the national park system.
I'm sorry. I go camping, and I don't remember the last time I called for a food truck and Wi-Fi. Aren't people usually wanting to get away from that kind of stuff to go camping? Isn't that the whole point?
When I go camping, I am usually cooking fresh fish.
You are really, really camping. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's your dinner. Okay. Because I just recall that I don't see a lot of people ever talking about needing this kind of modernization. And that was my other problem with this was, are people really going camping and wanting to do that? Because they actually cited that we want amphitheaters. We want, and this is what we want. We want Wi-Fi. We would like concessions. We would like, they were actually saying that we need $330 million needed for campgrounds to redo these mm-hmm. campgrounds. I think there's over 1,400 campgrounds in the system that need a revamping. But I'm not quite sure we're actually asking for these things.
Well, especially when at this point in time, there's already a $12 billion backlog in maintenance
yeah.
in the national parks.
So where's all of our money going? Because we pay for the parks and we're taxed for the parks. And so where's all the cash going, I wonder?
It buys land.
Mm-hmm.
It's not used for maintenance. Uh-huh. It's used to buy more land.
Right.
Government likes to own land.
Yeah. So the numbers dipped, by the way, in 2014, but the numbers have been on the rise. So I'm not quite sure that we actually really want that. If numbers have been on the rise, that means people going camping are pretty okay with what they're getting in camping. But so privatization, I always think is I opt for that just because I think that that the feds have too much control over everything. And I, you know, the fact that we're charged for both, we're taxed and then charged. But when they cited all the things that we want, I actually disagree with that. I actually don't think that we're actually asking for those things. They want Wi-Fi. That Wi-Fi was a big deal. Is that a big deal to you, Wi-Fi?
If I'm out camping.
That's what I thought. I thought, what in the world? Okay, let me take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay, are we forgetting that we had a great big rise in the cost of going to the national parks?
Yes, you're
and
right.
And half
yes.
of that rise went right back to that very national park to take care of all this backlog mm-hmm. of things that had to be taken care of at the national park.
You're right.
What happened to all that
you're
money?
You're right. Mm-hmm. Bingo. I love that you just brought that up. That's awesome. Yeah, you're right. You're right. 100%. I don't see any accounting for that. Thank you. No. I love it. That was great. That was great.
But here's the real irony of the whole thing.
Okay.
The National Park System has always been run by the government.
Mm-hmm.
What they're really preaching now is to turn it over to concessionaires.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're not turning it over to private enterprise. They want the concessionaires to be a totally controlled by the government concessionaire.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, I know for me, when I go camping, I actually really want to get away from everything. And you know what? It'd be nice to see some of that money actually applied where it's supposed to go when they're asking for more and more fees. We're feed to death over national parks, and it's only getting worse, not better. And so I just thought this was kind of ridiculous.
No, this way you can get a fresh hamburger. And because it'll probably be subsidized.
Big corn dog. You know, that's what I want when I go camping.
It'll be subsidized. So instead of, you know, 18 or 20 bucks for the burger, it'll only be 10 or 12.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Or some Greek food.
Yeah.
I just know that I really like to go all out when I'm camping. No, how about just your Dutch oven? Have we just lost the art of even camp food? Remember when you opened the bag of Fritos and you made a little chili and had the Fritos in there? Remember, that's what we used to eat.
I didn't even heat the chili.
Really?
I ate it cold out of the can. Huh?
You're so rustic. we're kind of losing the art of camping along with a lot of things. And I guess we have to, people, if that's what they're truly wanting, if I'm wrong and they really do want food trucks, well, I can't even imagine this, but I guess that's what they want. I mean, there was kind of an art to camping. It was camping food and being outdoors and not having all the other junk around.
Well, don't you remember getting the poll asking you if you wanted food
no,
trucks?
No, I actually didn't. I wonder how they assessed that.
Yeah, I never heard anybody ask.
You know how
that.
They did it? They had a little super small pilot group. Yeah, a little tiny pilot group of
Zinke's relatives.
Who knows? But I just don't think people are calling for that. Anyway, all right. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Oh, glad you're joining us. I've got Uncle Milty here. Always fun as usual. And we just laugh on the breaks about some of these headlines. They're just cracking us up. Welcome back. And make sure you get over to Auto Body Central. If your car's in an accident, they can do anything auto body. I mean, these guys are so good. They're perfectionists, which is exactly what you want in an auto body person. And also at the lowest cost. They also have the best people that work for them. They'll be in constant communication with you. They will make sure that they even come to your house, for Pete's sakes, and address your needs. If you need to have them come there, if it's easier for you, whatever's easiest for you, which I love. St. George Body Shop.com, St. George Body Shop.com. Make sure you get over to ABC. If you get in an accident, just think ABC. It's the easiest way, but these are the guys I'd go to. They're honest, they're great. And you know what? Let's take a caller. We were just talking about camping. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So, just kind of go back to the raising of the prices on everything with the national park. So I actually work for a really large concessionaire that's kind of all over the country.
Okay.
And part of the reason why they're wanting to raise this, I can speak kind of working very closely with the national park.
Right.
They don't even, the national parks can't even afford to keep people employed year round. So they're really dependent upon people volunteering their time, and then they accommodate them with a place to stay and a food stipend.
Okay.
But really, the vast majority of these national parks don't even have full-time employees. They're really ran by a skeleton crew, and then they become really dependent upon these concessionaires to kind of supplement a lot of different things. But I can tell you, a lot of these parks are running on a shoestring budget, and so they really haven't gone up with inflation. That's part of the big reason why they're trying to push that.
Mm-hmm.
And then to kind of go back as far as Wi-Fi and things like that, unfortunately, we're in this wireless age. And when somebody goes on vacation, you know, a lot of these people will still need to be able to get a hold of their friends, their family, their work colleagues, things like that. So that's why they're going to be looking toward these things like Wi-Fi and food trucks and things like that, because the concessionaires do charge quite a bit of money.
Right.
When it does, when it comes to food and things like that, and the Wi-Fi is limited, if not existent in a lot of the areas. So to kind of speak from that perspective,
which
that's
is kind of sad,
and why they're trying to raise that.
Yeah, to me it's sad because we're kind of losing the art of getting away from it all, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, people don't disconnect very well, but I can tell you, you know, when somebody comes into one of the lodges or something like that, they immediately want to reconnect. And honestly, again, especially with the millennials and some of the younger generation, you know, they're really connected to that social media aspect. And so they really want to share that experience or that event in their life.
Right. All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate your take. Thank you for that. You know, the heart. Yeah, we're just losing the art. And I actually think that when he talked about inflation, what were your thoughts on that, Uncle Mildy? Because I was thinking, you know, all this money that they're raking in through taxes and fees and these fees that seem to go up all the time. Where's all that money going? Where is it going?
We don't know where it's going.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The bottom line is we don't know.
So.
But when I think about this, I often think to myself, how much does it really cost to keep a gate at the entrance to a wilderness area?
And restrooms clean. Well, I don't know. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi there.
I think it's called glamping. And these glampers, I'm sure, want all these nice things.
Yes, it is. Glamping. We want our glamping, don't we? Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes, yes, absolutely. That's what it's called. Yeah. And it's the big, huge Winnebago, you know, the brand new one with the, you know, Wi-Fi. I mean, why even go camping? I mean, honestly, are we kind of losing why we even go? How do you appreciate nature if you're surrounded by food trucks? I'm not saying I wouldn't spend a dollar on a food truck if one was available. What I'm saying is that I don't want that when I go. You know what I like? When we go camping, I love it that the kids cannot get Wi-Fi. I love it. It's like nice. I don't know.
Do you ever go to Lake Powell?
Yeah.
Do you stay right near the marina or do you head out into the lake?
Right by the tables. I want as much action as possible.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're always looking for a spot away. There's a reason.
Of course.
And I understand, you know, the one caller saying, well, you know, the needs of these millennials. I don't care whether they have a need.
Teach
them something. Yes, make them go without. We're missing that in society greatly, and I feel like we're churning out all of these dependents on their Wi-Fi. And I know because I have my phone with me all the time. I'm not calling you out and then thinking that I'm doing everything right. Of course not, because I have my own dependency issue with my phone. But what I'm saying is all of us do. We need to look at it. We need to be able to get away, and I want more accountability for the money. For the funding that they're raking in without, and I think they're using this as more of a guise. It's like if they said, we need money to revamp all the camp spots, then everybody would say, but you're raking it in. Pay for it yourself. So what are they doing? They're talking about the modernization of the campsites with all these added things so that it looks like, well, we'd really like to do all of this, but oh, all of that we can't afford. So, you know, we might as well, you know, show you what we can't do. I don't know. To me, it's more of a guise of why they can't come up with the funds that they already have to just to keep them nice. Just keep the campground nice. I don't need all the extra fluffery.
Do you know there's only 20,000 National Park Service employees for 400 national parks? That's only 50 per park.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how you can get $12 billion behind.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like, what are they doing for $12 billion?
It's like a black hole of funding. We have a lot of those. You know, the budget black holes. Anyway, I also wanted to mention bicycles. We played bicycle coming in. they have a new, bike path that they're trying to get out there. This was kind of an interesting piece. You know, there's a lot that has to do with bikes right now, and we're talking a lot about bicycling, and I don't have anything against bikes, and neither does the person that wrote this piece have anything against bikes.
Right.
But no, actually, this person was trying to say, look, this is so Agenda 2030. Are you seeing this? And they said, okay. And I thought this was great. So I wanted to relay all of this to you as we're getting all of the, you know, the company Spin, by the way, that has partnered with our city, which we're not supposed to have business, public-private partnerships, okay? But they've partnered with cities all over the country, and they were trying to instill sort of the Chinese share a bike program that China has, but China's actually had problems with, and trying to instigate it in every city. So Spin was actually, the guy that started Spin was funded by all the Silicon Valley partners, okay? And so based in San Francisco, he goes to the cities and gets them to partner with him. So the guy's making a ton of money by partnering with them. Ford just bought Spin. And then putting out the little private businesses out of business. So if you have a scooter or bike business, forget about it, because now you're competing with Spin and the city. And then the city props up Spin as the private part to make it look like the city isn't very much involved, even though the city's the one that says we need new bikes, this is how it's going. They're basically managing the whole thing. And they're the ones that give the allocation for, yes, we need more bikes. So I just wanted to let everybody know that Spin is partnering all over the country and making a killing by working with our city so that they don't just have to work as a private company and go invest. They get to have the city's help with this little maneuver. It's not okay.
Well, that, and let's try to look at the bigger picture. They're calling this a protected bike lane.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a protected bike lane?
No.
Well, they actually,
I don't think so.
It's separate from the car lanes
right
next to it. They put up little dividers.
Yes.
And in essence, to do this is going to require lots of spending to widen streets, put up barriers, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep. So this is what this guy said. He wrote a blog and he said, look, to the average person, it would seem as if city councils were acting in the interest of the people, concerned about their health and safety and the environment. And they spend millions of dollars transforming infrastructure to promote bike ridership. He said it's not that they want people on bikes. It's that they want people out of cars.
Amen.
So what they're doing, and they said specifically not out of their own cars, not driving themselves. Yeah. And he said Vision Zero isn't about preventing accidents or death. They want to make driving a much slower, more frustrating process of moving through a city while simultaneously making it quicker and easier to get around on a bicycle. And all this has to do with Agenda 2030. He said, why bicycles are a great tool to push the Agenda 2030 transportation? He said, well, it's because of the fact that it is healthy, it is cheaper, low maintenance form of transportation, but it keeps you in the city, and that's the point. He said, it's much more limiting than they like to make it out to be in those propaganda pieces. And it's very, very true. He's very right. And he said, look, he said, they want to get people out of their cars. And you know, I had a friend that just said, you know, I tried to get around New York City on my own driving, and it was a nightmare. It was the most stressful situation I've ever been in. And I thought, yep, that's so true. And they're getting the cities are making it harder and harder while spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to get people out of their cars. And I think right now it's a great time to sort of watch this, because I think that there's a lot of people out there that think that this is just about creating a healthier nation. Isn't that great? And you'll see the mayor riding along on a scooter and trying to sort of propagandize it and on the bicycle. But you know what, though? It is very much Agenda 2030 is alive and well.
Yep. He looks like he's been riding a bicycle.
Well, anyway, he said the car acts more like an armor, essentially, and generally can hold a minimum of four people. He said getting people out of cars and onto bikes, buses, trains, or walking around means more soft targets. more potential casualties for attacks. And he said, this guy writing this, he said, does anyone see this? Is anyone noticing this? And I thought, yeah. Yeah, there are people that are going, wow, they're really pushing hard on this. And they're really putting a lot of money into it and entering into all of these public-private partnerships to make it, well, to oust the entrepreneur, but to make it look like we're doing this for your own good. So I just wanted to make note of that. Hi, caller. I can squeeze you in for about a minute. Go ahead.
I called about the parks doubling their fees, and nobody cared because it all came back to the parks. But do you remember the old pictures of Henry Ford, and I can't remember who it was, Einstein, and some banker, and some president out camping in their Model A's, out in their little seats in the parks?
All right.
Yeah, they were wealthy, wealthy men. If they wanted all that stuff, they could have had all kinds of neat stuff there, but they went to get away from it all.
Yeah, great point. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have... They have charged so much money in fees and fines, and it is excruciating to watch how much money they're raking in, but yet they don't have a lot to show for it. So, in the parks. On the bicycles, yes, this is Agenda 2030. They are wanting to get people out of their cars, and I just, again, want to say, as I'm watching all these headlines, I know Milty is too, and we just keep thinking, oh my gosh, do we realize how much propaganda is in this? I hope we're all seeing it.
I can't wait to ride in a rickshaw.
Rickshaw?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But with all the bike lanes, there's bound to be rickshaws.
Well, that's true. I did ride one in Washington, D.C. Yes, it's alive and well.
Well, I've ridden them in foreign countries, but I never thought I would here in the United States.
D.C. is a foreign country, by the way. Yes. I just, we're so hooked. I wish we were a community that would actually stand up against all this stuff. But the reason they made it a metropolitan city was because they really wanted to cruise, forgive the pun, towards Agenda 2030 rapidly. And what metropolitan means is when you get that designation, you are then directly tied in with the Fed. So you're getting all this Fed money. This is why whenever they cite city, they're using county numbers. The metropolitan status allows a city to use county numbers for everything that they do. And that's why you see all the articles saying we have the fastest growth. It's not because it's dialed down to a particular city. They're just talking about county. Mm-hmm. But then the city gets to do things and then prop up county numbers to help pay for it. So it really is kind of sickening. And I wish we were a city that stood up against it instead of walking right into it. But our city is becoming very liberal and we don't even realize it. That's the hard part. All these people running for office, I just want to shake them and say, do you realize what you're doing? All these people in office. Oh, gosh. All right. We'll be right back. Pesta's going to join us in the last hour of the show today. And so we have a lot coming up on the show in this next hour. We want you to chime in, too, on some of the national topics we'll be discussing on the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Be right back. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.